Dear friends in Christ, you can use your words to say whatever you want to say. You can use your words to make any claim that you care to make. For example, do you know that I can run a mile under 5 minutes? And that I'm fluent in 10 languages, and that I can solve a Rubik's Cube in under 30 seconds? I don't think any of you believe me. But I said it, so it must be true, right? And you're always thinking, no, you got to prove it, right? Talk is cheap. Show me by your actions that you can actually do those things, right? Prove it. Because I can say anything I want to say and make any claim that I want to make, but if my actions can't back it up, then what I say is pointless and worthless. Nothing about love. Sometimes we say, I love you, to family members or maybe some others we are close with. Some of us can't even get that far. But let's say we do say, I love you, right? But what if our actions don't back it up? And we know the golden rule. We know that we should love our neighbor as yourself. And so we tell ourselves, oh, we love all people, even our enemies. But we can make any claim we care to make. We can say anything that we want to say. But if our actions don't back it up, then our words are worthless and pointless. So then we think about the opening lines of our text. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Now, love in God's eyes isn't really a feeling or emotion, as our Western world tends to look at love as a feeling or emotion. Love is not the warm fuzzies you get when you're with someone special. It's not a sense of closeness that you have when you're with good friends or family. No, love in the Bible, as God wants it, is an action. Or as I describe it sometimes, as an attitude that leads to an action. Love isn't just about saying the right words. Love is what you do and what you don't do to others. And true love is showing love to all people, no matter who they are, no matter what they have done to you. True love is showing love to someone, no matter who they are or what they can offer you. And true love is not loving someone because it's expected of you, but out of love and thanks to Christ. And it is by those actions, not our words, but it is by those actions that we indicate who we are or who we aren't. We indicate whether we are children of Christ or we're not. John writes in verse 19, "This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." So our acts of love are proof not only to ourselves, but to others, but what's really in our heart. And when they see our good deeds, they will thank God for our faith. That's the problem, isn't it? We often don't love as we should. First of all, we often don't love with our words, right? Especially those who we consider enemies or those who have sinned against us or mistreated us. It's hard enough to love them with our words. It's hard enough to say good things about them. How often don't we talk bad about somebody? We spread rumors about them or we say evil things about them behind their back because we don't like them or because they did this and this against us, and so we give them a bad name. But then there's also our actions. Maybe it's a physical fight you got involved with your siblings growing up. Maybe you did something foolish and brought someone into it. Maybe you hurt someone. Maybe you said something that you immediately regretted, but it changed your relationship throughout the rest of your life. Maybe you hit somebody with a rake. Maybe you did something else that you immediately regret and failed to show love with our actions. And when you think about what we just said, that it is not just with our words, but it's with our actions that we describe what's in our heart. And then we think about what we've done. And all the times that you fail to show love are coming back into your mind. You think about this, you think about that. Maybe it's something that happened decades ago. Maybe it's something that happened just yesterday. And what does your conscience tell you? Your conscience, led by the devil, says you're not a Christian. How can you think that you are a child of God when you did that? Or when you've done those things so many times that you're far worse than a pagan? And you think that you are a child of God and that you think that you're going to be saved? And then we read in verse 20, we're talking about God, and he says, he knows all things. And when you think about God's omniscience, the fact that he knows all things, that can sometimes be scary, right? Because God knows what's in your heart. The things that pop up in your mind, the things that come up in your heart that you haven't told anybody, but God knows. Oh, those secret sins that you kept to yourself, or maybe your closest family member or your friend maybe knows about it kind of a little bit, God knows exactly. Each and every thought, word, and action that you've ever had, God knows. And then your conscience tells you, and the devil tells you, he knows all those sins, all those horrible thoughts that you've had, all those secret sins that you've committed, and not only does your heart condemn you, God does too. But then we look at context, because that's not the context of verse 20. If you look at the context when he says God knows all things, all of verse 20 reads, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Our hearts may condemn us, but God doesn't, because he knows all things. He knows that he chose you to be his own dear child before the beginning of the world. He knows that he brought you to faith through the waters of baptism or through the hearing of the word, and he's kept you in that one true faith. He knows the struggle that goes on in your heart, the battle that goes on inside of you between the old man and the new Adam, and sometimes that old man wins out. But he also knows the feeling of guilt and remorse, the sorrow that's in your heart, even if you don't express it. He also knows that he sent his son. And he knows that that son lived a perfect life that you could not, and that he died on the cross and gave you that perfect life. He knows that that son rose from the dead and won that ultimate victory. And he knows that through faith, which he has already worked in your hearts, you receive all the blessings that Christ won for you. God is greater than your hearts. He overcomes our conscience. Our conscience condemns us, but God forgives us. Through his Son, he forgives us fully and freely, and so we are no longer burdened by what our heart tells us, because we know that we stand forgiven. And our forgiveness is a fact, and fact overrides feelings. Because feelings are fickle, feelings change, even many times throughout a day, right? There are times that we may not feel forgiven. Many other times that we may not feel as if God loves us or if God is watching over us. It may not feel as if we have that sure and certain hope of eternal life. But that's a fact. Because the fact is that Jesus paid for your sins, that he suffered and died on the cross, he lived a perfect life for you. The fact is that he rose from the dead and he won that ultimate victory and he gives that victory to you. The fact is that you stand fully and freely forgiven in Jesus. If our salvation were based on our feelings, we would never have certainty because our feelings change and our feelings doubt. But our salvation is not based on how we feel or what our conscience tells us. Our salvation is based on Christ and what he has done to save us. And so we will not be condemned. As Paul says in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ, who lived, who suffered, who died for us. Those who are in Christ Jesus, those who believe in Christ Jesus, connected to the vine, receive the blessings that he has won for us. All by an act of love. Our salvation is won for us by an action, not by Jesus' words. Sure, there are plenty of times throughout Scripture that Jesus gives us words of comfort, words of love. And there are many times in Scripture that he talked about suffering and dying for us, right? But none of that would have happened, none of that would have mattered if his actions didn't back up his words. And of course, Jesus did this, just that, willingly giving up his life, willingly suffering and dying on the cross for us. Paul talks about it. He says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is love, an act of love, that God gave up his one and only Son to suffer and die. For those who hate him, those who want nothing to do with him, and even now as Christians we still sin against him, God sent his Son. It's an act of love that that Son willingly gave up his life for those who go against his word constantly. John points it out a few verses before our text. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, loving not just with words, but with actions. And we can go on and on looking throughout the Bible, from God creating the world for us, to preserving the world for us and providing for us, to sending his Son to suffer and die, to promising us that gift of eternal life. God loves us with actions. Revealed only through faith, and received only through faith. That is God's command for us to believe, so that we would receive that blessing that he had won for us. But again, the problem, we're God's enemies. We hate him by nature. The message of the cross is foolish to us by nature, and so we would never choose to believe. But he gives that gives us that gift too. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Again, through the waters of baptism, through the word, he has worked faith into our hearts, an act of love that he commands that we believe, and we can't do it, and so he gives us that faith through his holy gospel. Love, not just with words, but also in action. It's a limitless love, an unconditional love. And this limitless love, this unconditional love, leads us to want to show love to one another. Not just with words, but with actions. Not just with words, but in sincerity and truth. Loving someone without expecting anything in return. Loving someone no matter what they can do to you or what they have done for you. Motivated by Christ, as John says, Jesus laid down his life for us, so therefore we ought to lay down our life for one another. And that's something that only Christians can do. Only Christians who know the love of Christ in their hearts and know what Christ has done for us can love each other with a selfless love. And that's one of the blessings you have here at Grace. One of the blessings we have at Nels. Now, we're still sinners. It's not as if this is a sinless area. It's not as if there is no sin in the Christian environment that is Nels. But only in a Christian environment can we love each other and forgive each other just as we are forgiven in Christ. Only here, only in a Christian environment, can we talk about Jesus and the forgiveness that he has given for us. Only here can we talk about the love that we have for Christ, and that Christ has for us, and the love that we have then in one another, and that we can live together in sincerity with our mutual love for Jesus. Will we love perfectly? Nope. Not a chance. But when our hearts condemn us, Christ is greater than our hearts. Loving us, not just with words, but with actions. And so we strive to love. And that striving to love one another is proof that he has worked faith into your hearts. And so we love, not with words, because talk is cheap, but we prove it with our actions. Not perfectly, imperfectly, but we live together in harmony and peace, and forgiving each other just as we are forgiven, and loving each other until we dwell with each other in heaven as we sing the praises of our Savior forever. Amen.